Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, hear now the word of the Lord. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word at once and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown." Praise be to God for this reading of his holy word for us today. Have you ever planted something in your garden that didn't quite grow to its fullest potential? Have you ever wondered why it takes years sometimes for certain vegetables or fruit plants or trees in order to produce anything edible? Sometimes after all your diligent and hard work of tilling, planting, watering, a pesky rabbit or skunk or deer comes in and has a feast in your garden. And the only thank you note they leave, you wish they'd taken with them. Some plants don't get enough sun. Other plants get too much. The reality of owning a garden is that sometimes there's fruit and veggies and other times there's not. Sometimes plants succeed and other times they don't. Most of the time, it's out of our control what happens to them. We can't always keep the pests away. We put a fence around the garden to keep the rabbits away, and then the worms will eat our tomatoes. You spray for the worms, and you might get cancer from the spray that you use on your tomatoes. We just can't make the seeds turn into fruit-bearing plants, and we can't guarantee the right amount of nutrients in the soil, but in faith, year after year, the gardener or the farmer still plants the seeds, and year after year, there's generally some kind of crop that comes up. Well, I think life is a lot like a garden in that way. The only guarantee is that things will not always go as you expect them to go, and there will be setbacks. The seeds of education we sow in the lives of our children, whether biblical or otherwise, sometimes get stolen away by the birds of busyness, or absentee parents, or just bad company. Sometimes, like a gardener or farmer, we really do not have a lot of control over the seeds that we plant in them. And for some of us, that drives us nuts. If I plant a strawberry bush, by golly, there better be strawberries on it this year, not 2 years from now. You know, we want the results right away. And we have setbacks in our spiritual lives too, and these setbacks have the potential to derail us from living godly lives and even taking the effort to sow the word of God in the lives of our children or others around us. For who's to say that that word's not going to be stolen or taken away or blown away by the wind or whatever? Any number of things could happen. Sharing our faith with somebody, talking to somebody about the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ, or helping children to understand the word is sowing seeds in people's lives. And it can become discouraging sometimes when we don't see those immediate results of what's happening in their life. We don't see the seed growing and the plants coming and fruit producing right away. And it can become discouraging. Well, in our parable of parables today, Jesus is teaching us about the way that it is. He's saying this is the way it is when it comes to planting the Word of God in a real world with real people who have real problems, who are in real families with real issues. Sometimes the seeds grow and germinate and produce fruit, and sometimes they don't. And there's a mystery to all this and why it happens this way. A parable is simply a story where Jesus compares a spiritual truth with concrete examples from people's everyday lives. Farmers and gardeners today should have no trouble understanding this parable of Jesus. The rest of us city folks might have to use our imagination. But at any rate, it's a simple message. I think Jesus meant it to be so. But first, in our story, the promiscuous farmer. That's what I'm calling him, the promiscuous farmer. We notice Jesus gathering a crowd as he began to teach. The crowd was so large and pressing that Jesus had to get back into a boat with his disciples as well and go off the shore. And his boat became his pulpit as he began to teach. It says he taught them many things in parables, these stories of comparison with real life or concrete examples and situations. And he begins by using these two words for the English word, listen. He says something like, listen up, or see here. In other words, pay close attention. There's a message in this parable, a simple message, but even the disciples don't seem to be getting it. Listen up, pay close attention. The parable is often referred to as a parable of the sower, right? That's when we usually hear of it. Here it's called that. But the sower, or the farmer, is only mentioned twice in this parable, and then only in passing. It's also been referred to as the parable of the soils. But I think we miss, with these titles, we miss the point of what Jesus is saying here. The parable isn't really about the farmer or about the ground that the seeds are going into. It's really about the seeds. What's happening to the seed? Where is it going? How is it growing or not? I think that's the focus here. So Jesus even rebukes his disciples in verse 13, saying, "Don't you understand this parable? How will you understand any parable?" This parable, I'm calling the parable of the seeds, seems to be a key parable for understanding all of Jesus' parables. And in the Gospel of Mark, this is the first parable in a series of parables that talk about the kingdom of God. So we keep that in mind as we're focusing in on this parable of the seeds and what it means and what it's all about. That in the Gospel of Mark, it's about the kingdom of God in a series of different stories. So pay close attention to this parable of the seeds. A farmer went out to sow his seeds, Jesus begins. He sowed seed along a path and in rocky places and among the thorns and the thistle patches. He was a promiscuous farmer, indiscriminate in his planting. And there are three seeds planted that do not produce fruit. Then there's the fourth seed planted that generates fruit in three incremental increasing levels. Well, first some seed fell along the path and the birds came along and they devoured the seed. And then some fell on rocky places, you know, where there's only maybe an inch of soil on a flat rock, and the plant grew up quickly, but it had no roots. So the sun came out and it dried up and withered away. Then there was the seed that fell along the thorn or among the thorns and the thistle patches. The thistles grew up and choked the plant, and so it didn't produce any fruit. But then there were other seed that fell on good soil. The seed produced crops, multiplying 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. An extravagant abundance of the kingdom of God is possible. That's it. That's the story. That's the parable. And Jesus teaches this when he's out on the boat. I think his audience could understand the agriculture of the parable, but what does this have to do with anything? How do you get a spiritual teaching out of this gardening lesson, Jesus? And I think some of the disciples had the same question for Jesus. They wanted to know the same thing. So next we have the intermission that usually gets skipped over when this parable gets talked about. We have next a strange and controversial intermission between the parable itself and Jesus' interpretation of the parable. It's strange because there's some sort of secret mystery about the kingdom of God that's being discussed here. And we wonder, what is this all about? What is the secret? What is the mystery? It's controversial because it looks like Jesus speaks in these figurative, comparative, parallel stories, these parables, in order to keep people from understanding and repenting. That's the way it reads at first. But that doesn't sound right. That doesn't fit with the teaching and the ministry of Jesus. When he was alone, it says in verse 10, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. Apparently they didn't understand the parable of the seed. And it says parables here in plural. Maybe they wondered why Jesus would teach in parables at all. So the disciples and those around Jesus seem to pull their boats up next to his, or maybe they are all in the same boat and they have this confab on the sea between the parable itself and the interpretation of the parable. Jesus says, the mystery of the kingdom of God has been given to you. That is, to those of you who are my disciples, the disciples of Jesus, to you the mystery has been given. And what's that mystery? The revelation of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. The mystery has been given to those who with a good soil received the word, the seed planted in them, and then produced fruit in their lives. The mystery or the secret refers to the revelation of the word made flesh in the person and the ministry of Jesus Christ. To you, this mystery, the secret has been given, but to others, to those on the outside, verse 11 continues, everything is said in parables. And those words, so that there, instead of concluding, can also be translated as that is. So our passage would read something like, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, that is, they may be seeing, but never perceiving, hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, and I'm adding here, if they had perceived and understood the person and ministry of Jesus, they might turn and be forgiven. As it is, however, in the Gospel of Mark, there are many, especially those in religious authority, who have rejected the person and the ministry of Jesus. They are those on the outside who are not perceiving, who have not understood Jesus. To them, the teaching of Jesus sounds like riddles. So Jesus' quote from Isaiah is more descriptive of the way things are rather than prescriptive of the way things should be. The mystery of the kingdom is where some seed will grow and produce fruit in a person's life, while others never germinate at all because of hard hearts or for whatever reason. It's a mystery. It's a mystery why the Word of God can go forth and can grab a hold of a person and change that person's life, and they're on fire for the Lord and they've gone 180 degrees in the opposite direction from where they were going. And how the same Word spoken to and preached and nurtured into a child, a pert child who grew up in the church from a young age, the child never gets it, never grabs it, and wanders away from the church and the faith. It's a mystery why this happens, why the Word of God can grab a hold of a person so strongly and another person who hears the same gospel message doesn't seem to get it, doesn't grasp a hold of it. It's reminded me of my Sunday school experience when I was younger. Poor Sunday school teachers. there must have been no evidence. There must have been no sign to them that what they were teaching me was settling in or was producing anything at all. But they continued to come to Sunday school class and teach me and the others around me. And I remember a Youth for Christ program I went to, and they would teach me with tears in their eyes. I can remember, I can still see their faces, talking about the gospel and the need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. But they didn't see anything in me. I didn't respond in any way whatsoever. But they continued to pour their hearts out to me. They continued to talk about the gospel, the good news of Jesus. That didn't depend upon the immediate reaction of a child. But I believe those seeds were planted. Seeds were planted then. And like some of the grass seeds that come with special coating that you can throw them out in the fall, and when the conditions are right in the spring, they'll start to grow. I think that's the way some of these seeds were. The gospel were planted in my young years. And as I wandered away and as I wandered into atheism and whatnot, that later on in life, when the conditions were right, when it was God's timing, those seeds began to grow and produce fruit. So a little encouragement to those Sunday school teachers here to keep teaching, even when it seems discouraging, even when you're working with the youth and they don't give you immediate feedback of, oh, how wonderful this is, and oh, my life has just changed immediately, because that doesn't always happen. But you're planting seeds, seeds that in God's time, God's timing in their lives will grow and produce fruit. Now, the irony in this passage is that the believers, the followers, those on the inside, do not even understand this parable. And I wonder how much we really do today. For if you've been around the church for a long time, you've probably heard sermons and devotions about becoming the good soil or being the farmer who sows the seed. Or maybe you've heard this parable as a teaching on the final judgment for those who are on the outside. But have we missed the point of this parable too? Have we skipped over this intermission as well? This is a parable. Jesus clues us in. This is a parable about the kingdom of God and what it's like in the kingdom. Pay close attention, Jesus says. If you have ears to hear, listen up. Next, he interprets the parable. The mysterious work of the kingdom of God is that the work of God is sown promiscuously or indiscriminately, but the results are not always neat and tidy. We don't always get to see the results, and the results aren't always what we expect them to be. Jesus describes this complex result of the work of his followers. The kingdom of God is like a farmer sowing seed. The farmer, and there's a warning here, a warning for the followers of Jesus. There's a warning and an encouragement. It's a warning because things happen in this world which hinder the growth of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is directly opposed to by the kingdom of Satan. And Satan will seek to steal and to kill and destroy and to steal the word from his people. The followers of God, followers of Jesus, do have an enemy. It's an encouragement also because simply we cannot control what happens to the seed after it leaves our hands. We don't know if the wind's going to take it somewhere else. We don't know if it's going to fall right into the soil right then and there. We don't know if a bird is going to take it and put it somewhere else, or how long it's going to take for that particular seed to germinate and grow into something. We're not in control of all of that. So that can be an encouragement as well, to sow the seed indiscriminately and let God take it. And Jesus also warns of the cost of discipleship. On account of the word of God, your association with Jesus, there will be trouble. Those who do not take the time to develop roots in the word, to study, to pray, to memorize, to gather with other believers, to worship, those who neglect these habits may just dry up and wither when trouble comes because they don't have deep roots. Basic anxieties of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth will choke out the fruit-bearing potential of the word in a person's life. There's so much else to be concerned about in this world, and especially our modern world, and I just think about how busy most of us are. And some of us too busy to think about our spiritual lives, too busy to go to church, too busy to serve those in need. The word can't produce fruit when it's choked out by the worries, the wealth, the wish I hads. Well, there are four types of profession of faith that were developed by a pastor and author, conference speaker, R.T. Kendall, relating to these four seeds planted in the parable, and I want to share them with you this morning. First is the supplanted profession. The supplanted profession of faith. The word of God is sown in a person's life, and he or she wishes to publicly profess their faith in Jesus. But before the word has time to germinate, it's stolen. It's taken away by Satan or others. A supplanted profession. Then there's the superficial profession of faith. A person quickly makes a profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but never digs in. They never study the word. They hardly pray. They hardly ever participate in the life of the church. The profession is superficial. When the persecution or trouble comes along, the person cannot stand on a faith with no roots. A superficial profession. Third, the stifled profession. The stifled profession of faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior is genuine enough, but the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, they choke out the potential effects and the fruit of the word in the person's life. Growth is stunted. It's a stifled profession of faith. The fourth one, the solid profession. The solid profession of faith is like what Jesus said, seed grown, sown in good soil, where those who hear the word accept it and produce a crop 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. A solid profession of faith is equated with a person whose deeds live up to his or her words. And when that happens, a harvest in increasing multiplicity is generated for the kingdom of God. So I wonder what your profession of faith is like today. Is it a supplanted profession? Have you allowed your joy to be stolen or taken away by someone else? Is it a superficial profession, lacking the deep roots that can sustain your faith during the dark nights? Is it a stifled profession, choked out by the cares of this world? Or is it a solid profession, producing fruit for the kingdom? These four professions of faith are reality in the kingdom of God. So Jesus encourages us this morning, saying that the word has great growth potential. If only it is accepted and allowed to grow and produce fruit. The mysterious power of the word of God generates its harvest, and it does so even in the midst of setbacks in life, and we all have setbacks in our lives. Yes, we can all be farmers sowing the word, but we keep in mind that, like normal farmers, there's a lot of faith that goes into that. No guarantees. Our efforts to raise children, to teach Sunday school, to serve, to give to somebody in need, they're all gifts given, seed sown. Once the seed leaves our hand, we let it go. But in faith, we nevertheless still teach, serve, love, give to those in need, preach promiscuously. We may plant and someone else may water, but in the end, it's God who causes the plant to grow. It's God who gives the increase. This is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus says. We all have the potential to produce a harvest for the kingdom. And I remember when I was in seminary, a group of us were sent out to Iowa to talk about the seminary and talk about going into the ministry, to try to encourage people to go into the ministry. And I went out there and I preached a sermon, and the sermon wasn't really all about going into the ministry until the very end, when I mentioned a few words about if God might be calling you into the ministry and whatnot. Well, nothing happened. No one came up to me right afterwards, but a little bit later, I heard from somebody from this church that I'd never been to before that they felt called into the ministry, and that my message that day and those encouraging words were just what they needed to become a pastor. We were out there just sowing the seeds, and that God would use that in that person's life. It's a mystery how these things happen. And the same thing can happen for us when we share the word, when we hand out a tract, when we say God bless you to someone, when we engage someone in a conversation. Well, what do you believe? What kind of spiritual beliefs do you have? And to get into someone else's life that way, as we share the gospel with someone else, to see those seeds that may be planted. Or you may be watering a seed that was planted long ago and you don't know that. It's a mystery how all this happens. But it's possible. Jesus makes it possible. The Holy Spirit is within us and among us. And the word will not return void, except that it accomplished that for which God sends it. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for the power of your word and the hope that we have in you as a living God. And that your word is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. We just pray, Lord, that you would give us the grace and the courage and the long-term perspective as we sow seeds of the gospel in people's lives. Thank you for the seeds that were sown in our own life and how they have produced fruit of faith, grace, love, hope, joy. Bless us today, O Lord, and this week, and open our eyes, Lord. Open our eyes to the possibilities and the opportunities to share your word and your love to others in our lives. For we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.